Hey, thank you for choosing to spend some time with us here at Awake the Iron. These podcasts are also posted as videos on our website, so be sure to visit awaketheiron.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the Awake the Iron Academy. You'll never be bored again as you explore vast archives of videos, interviews, documents, lectures, humor, and more, covering an ever-increasing range of topics. Think of it like a self-guided, self-paced college, but without the mountains of debt. We would also love to hear from you, and you can do that two ways, either through the website contact form, or leave us a voice message by calling the Awake the Iron hotline. That's 601-654-IRON.
At Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall.
The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already.
I don't want to lose heart!
We watched you guys land on the moon.
No,
which
you didn't.
Was...
No, you didn't. You watched animation.
It is Photoshop, but it's has to be.
No, screw your freedom.
Get vaccinated now.
I will never be on the wrong side again.
All right, we are back for another segment of Awake the Iron. I'm your host, Kason Pratt, and I am super jacked today for a few reasons. One, if you're watching this, and I'll interrupt myself and say, if you're not watching this, you might find it enjoyable to visit the website, awaketheiron.com, for the full experience. And if you are watching this, you might notice that we have with us today, as usual, we have CJ, the Lion of Losanniville. But we have another guest today that I'm excited about. And I'm super excited today for a few reasons. Number one, I had some bulletproof coffee this morning. And I haven't had coffee in like 2 years. I'm dead serious. I laid off of it because of some neurological things. My doctor was like, I don't think it's really the problem. So I had to, I think I'm all pumped up. Second, this topic today is going to be a wild one. And third, got a really good friend of mine on, one of my best friends from long, long ago. He is the Hoosier Herald. He's also the Marquis of Milan. His name is Mark Jumpshot Jacobs is with us today. And no kidding, Mark has one of the best jump shots of all time. And he actually taught me how to shoot basketball. So when I was starting out, I was tall, so everybody's like, oh, you should play basketball. Okay, so it's like a default thing. And I was maybe pretty coordinated, but I couldn't shoot. You know, I was like, you know, like a two-handed shove. And he taught me how to shoot, for real. And then I broke all the school records. No, I'm just
there
kidding.
There you go.
No, I did not break all the school records. But I had a lot of fun with that. So we're so pumped to have Mark with us today. Again, check out the website, awaketheiron.com, or you can also call the Awake the Iron hotline, 601-654-IRON. But if you have a little social anxiety, you can skip it and you can text, send a text to the same number.
just say, hey guys, I love the show, or your show sucks. And then give me a suggestion on what you would want to hear about. But today's topic is going to be very interesting. At the very beginning of the podcast, before I recorded any episodes, I recorded a little short, like 10, 15 minute little, like a intro that's on the website, and just kind of explaining what my plan was, what we were going to do. We're going to expose deception. We're going to talk about lots of stuff. We are not afraid to look into things that maybe seem crazy. You know, I don't know. I'll hear anything. Sometimes it's good to take a fresh look. We do know there's deception in lots of stuff, and I'm finding out I think there's some in almost everything. It's seeming like it. So that doesn't mean there's no truth. But truth is not afraid of being scrutinized, right? Truth is like, it's like a lion. You don't have to defend it. You just set it loose. It'll defend itself, right? So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep an open mind and see what this is about. The title of the episode probably is going to get you wondering. But and CJ's back in the Triassic period or whatever that is, based on his background there. So what in the heck is this about dinosaurs, and there's maybe deception in there? What do you think?
Yeah, so as you can see, I'm right here in the era of the like 180 million years span that dinosaurs supposedly existed for that long. And I've been around that long as well, so I know they're here, and there they are. You can see them in my background.
Right.
So this, now, just so the audience knows, this isn't necessarily like me saying dinosaurs don't exist, and then Casey and Mark saying, yes, they do, and let's go back and forth. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know, but I have questions, and maybe they have questions. I'm just bringing up the idea. Things might not be as they seem. So actually, I would like to start with the question of, how do we know that dinosaurs existed? Or how do you know?
Right. So I've been to the Museum of Natural History, and I watched the movie Night at the Museum, and the big T-Rex like came to life, which, you know, whatever, that's made up, but they had the bones there, right? And I watched Jurassic Park,
right? Oh my gosh, that's one of my favorite movies.
Me too.
I watched it at the theater. I was in junior high at the time, and I went to the theater 6 times to see it. And every time was amazing. It was terrifying. It was just so fascinating, and love those things.
It was actually my first date, my first real date with my wife when we were in high school. My very, very first date with my wife was a triple date, and old Mark there was there too. But my first like actual date with her was to see Jurassic Park. See, you got to take the girl to the movie where she might, you know, jump and you know, hug you or something, right?
Right. Okay. So you say you've been to the museum. You've been to the museum and you've seen the bones.
Right. I would admit, right, I've never been on a dig site. I've never excavated a dinosaur bone myself. I don't think I've ever touched one, even ones at the museum. They say don't touch, right?
Yeah. Now, you might not know that it's admitted that none of those are actual bones. Like, the bones are long gone. They say that they're from fossils, right? So bones decompose. Like, if you bury a body in the ground, they decompose. So No one, even the museums, don't claim that those are bones up there. They will say it's a replica mm-hmm. of the fossils that they have in the back room that you can't go see. And a fossil would be like an imprint, you know, so the bones were there, and then over time they decomposed and minerals got in there and took the place of the bones. And so like there's an impression of a bone. And so then they can use plaster and recreate what that would be like. So that's the first thing that most people don't realize is that, you know, it's not like, oh, it's this big hoax because there's no bones there. No, they admit, like, you're not looking at bones. You're probably not even looking at the fossil. You're looking at, you know, a reconstruction of plaster based on the fossils that we did find, which are over there, and you can't go look at them.
I think that many people, when they come to a museum, don't necessarily realize what things they're looking at and which ones are replicas of those specimens. I personally don't think that's actually a big deal. These replicas are so incredibly good that at a glance, even an expert can be confused as to whether they're looking at the original or not.
Right. I mean, I guess that it what you're saying makes sense, because there are hundreds of museums that have, you know, all kinds of quote unquote bones or like the full, you know, dinosaurs. And I guess it's reasonable to understand that all of those wouldn't be the actual bones, I guess. So that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually only certain people can go in the back room. I don't know what it's called. I'm just saying the back room.
Okay.
in the back room, you know, like paleontologists or whatever, and you have to have an appointment, and you go and, you know, you're monitored, and you can't, like, you know, mess with them and steal them and all that stuff. So it makes sense, but it's interesting because it's kind of like the whole fractional reserve thing with the banks, the banking back in the day, you know, saying, oh, don't worry, we have the gold in the vault, you know, just go about your business. Mm-hmm. But you can't really see. So here it's like, oh, we have the fossils. You just enjoy the replica out there.
You know that feeling when you walk into a museum being in the same room as a dinosaur? It's just special. The actual bones of something that was alive roaming the earth millions of years ago. So you can imagine how shocked I was when I found out that some of those bones on display in museums weren't real.
Yeah, so I guess I would have to admit that I am taking their word for it. That is what it comes down to.
Right. And also, a lot of times they don't even claim to have the entire body or the entire impression of a skeleton. You know, it's just a few. For example, I'll share the screen so you can see this. Can you see that picture?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's an example of a Do-You-Think-A-Saurus. No, I don't know what it's called. But those are, you can see the bones there that they apparently found fossils of. So it's like, I don't know how many that is, but for people who can't see it, there's like a little piece in the head, and then like one of the legs, one of the feet, another leg, a couple others, part of a spine. I don't know, maybe it's like 20 bones out of hundreds. And then they use their imaginations.
Imagination.
And say it looked like this. And so how do they know that the skull was that big and that size from that little piece? Yeah, I have no idea.
I was just looking at that.
How do they know? How do they know a lot of things, right? The soft tissue, like the color, you know, soft tissue, we typically don't have fossils of those kinds of things. So soft tissue is anything that's like not bone or teeth. So, you know, the muscle and the fat and the skin and all the collagen and the, if there's fur or scale or hairs or feathers or whatever, you know, so really we have no idea, like the color and all these things. And, you know, it's just imagination, which is fun. But it's not really scientific. At least it doesn't seem like that to me. So I'm just asking questions like, how do you know that skull looks like that? And that it did this, and, you know,
but again,
how do you know what the digestive system did when you don't even have the stomach or the intestines?
So there's a fair amount of assuming things. And if I was at the, that museum and I'm looking at that, but those bones aren't actual bones anyway, right?
Right.
But yeah, they're supposedly replicated off of not the bones, but the fossils that apparently are in the back room that you can't see.
Right. And right. How do we know that that leg wasn't from some other animal and the part of the spine was from some other animal? Like, they don't do some kind of like DNA analysis and it comes up, you know, this is like the species.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
Right. They just make it up. Here's the species. It's called such and such, such and such. And this is what we think it did. And this is what we think it looked like. And then they base other ones off of those too. You know, like they find a similar one. They say, oh, maybe that was in the same family as this one. But it kind of all starts with guessing.
So, okay. So CJ, quick question. Would some of these questions that you have be similar to human remains and our supposed, we'll say, cavemen ancestors? Like, is it specific to just a dinosaur world or other animals too? I mean,
yeah, so,
you know what I mean, like, there's a lot of data, right, you know, about supposed stuff happening, you know, thousands of years ago.
Right. Right. So they tell us that, you know, a fossil is like at least 10,000 years old. Doesn't necessarily have to be a dinosaur. It could, you know, be a fossil of a leaf. Fossil comes from the word that means dug up or to dig up. So just some remnant of something, a living creature. It could even be a plant. Let's maybe look at some explanations. I think that maybe that would be helpful. What they tell us. Okay, so I have that one and this one. Okay. Dinosaurs walked the earth between 230 and 65 million years ago. How do we know that? Good question. Okay, fossils, here we go. A fossil is the remains preserved for thousands of years, for over 10,000 years. Evidence of evolution. Okay, that's a whole other topic, because a lot of people who are saying dinosaurs are a hoax say that the reason is it helps bolster the evolution theory. Okay, here we go. This is interesting. Fossils can be created several ways. Over time, materials turn into rock in the shape of the animal. Some fossils are created when insects... No, okay, blah, blah, blah. Only a tiny number of animals turn into fossils after they die. The conditions have to be just right. Most bodies end up getting broken down by weather or becoming another animal's dinner. Okay, in other words, an animal dies and it's just sitting there. You know, wind, rain, whatever, it's gonna just break down and go away. Or it gets eaten by something else, right? So if it's protected from those, it can be preserved. Now, so in other words, if it's underground, Let's go to this here. How does something become a fossil? This is from the American Museum of Natural History. The most common process of fossilization happens when an animal is buried by sediment such as sand or silt shortly after it dies. Okay, that sounds like just being buried. Its bones are protected. Over millions of years, water in the nearby rocks, we usually don't think of water being in rocks. We think of like rocks are dry, but apparently there's water in the rocks, surround the hard parts, meaning the bones, and then minerals in the water replace them bit by bit. And when the minerals have completely replaced the organic tissue, what's left is a solid rock copy of the original specimen, which is a fossil. Okay. But, okay, keep that in mind. So if they're not just laying on the ground out to be eaten or weathered and they're buried, they're protected, then they can become that. Okay, let's get rid of this COVID thing. Okay.
You have to have the shot to go to that museum.
Yeah. No.
Enough said.
Okay. How long, this is from lisbd.net. It's a library of scientific information. How long does it take for bones to decompose? Again, if animals do not destroy or move the bones,
right, so
skeletons take 20 years to dissolve in the soil. Like if you bury a body or you bury an animal, even the bones completely gone in 20 years. Okay. However, in sand or neutral soil, skeletons can remain intact for hundreds of years.
Okay. Okay.
So how do we get millions? I have no idea. Do bones decay? Yes, they decay. Okay, what happens to bones in the ground? They decay. Can bones last for millions of years? Now, listen to see if this sounds familiar. This is a completely different website. Can bones last for millions of years? Over millions of years, water in the nearby rocks surrounds these hard parts, and minerals in the water replaces them bit by bit.
It's like word for word.
Look, here's the other site. Over millions of years, water in the nearby rocks surround these hard parts, and minerals in the water replace them bit by bit. Now, I wasn't looking for that phrase. I just randomly found when I was researching American Museum of Natural History site talking about stuff and this library site talking about how do bones decay, and it is the exact same phrase.
So I'm not understanding, because do the bones decay or not?
Right.
It says they do, and sometimes some instances, right, the sand or whatever, it could take hundreds of years, right?
Yeah.
But what about after that? Yeah, like you said, millions of years. Like, I don't understand how you could say the one and then still say the other.
Yeah, I guess they would say in certain rare circumstances.
The scientific world is still reeling from the discovery of actual Tyrannosaurus rex cells and soft tissue unearthed last week at a Montana excavation site. It's a tremendous find that scientists say could unlock the mysteries of extinction and could one day lead to real-life dinosaur cloning. Well, maybe.
Well, North Carolina State University professor Mary Schweitzer is the leader of the discovery team that found these extraordinary specimens. She joins us now from Raleigh with more. Nice to see you, Professor. Is that amazing to find this kind of soft tissue in a fossil this old? And what can the soft tissue really tell us?
Well, it's very amazing. It's utterly shocking, actually, because it flies in the face of everything that we understand about how tissues and cells degrade.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't say that, though. I mean, that would make more sense to say that, even. I don't know. That's.
Yeah. But this little thing here with the exact phrase, I mean, that doesn't. That's not like proof that this is a lie or anything like that, but it's just interesting because we know that media and, you know, different, I don't know what, any politicians, media, they have a statement or whatever and they just repeat the same thing. And so,
script.
Yes, yeah, right. So people look things up and then like, oh, this is a fact. Because look, over millions of years, water, blah, 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 blah. But how do we know that? Like, they're just saying that, and then they say it on that other site. Here's Natural Geographic. Preserved remains become fossils if they reach an age of about 10,000 years. So at 9,999, it's not a fossil. And then, bam, it's a fossil at 10. Fossilization is rare. Most organisms decompose fairly quickly. For an organism to be fossilized, the remains usually need to be covered by sediment. You mean like buried? And that's what I don't understand. Like, if you bury a body, and not that I do it all the time, but
not all the bones, time. Not...
the bones decompose. So over time, minerals seep into the remains. They become fossilized. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying that fossils are fake or whatever. I don't know. I just have questions. Like, I've even seen, I think I've seen like a fossil, like in like a rock, there's like an impression of some. You're like, ooh, that looks like a worm or a some kind of troglodyte.
Trilobite.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. I don't know, but it's just, I have questions on like, how do we know all of those things? It's interesting theories, but I don't think we really know. Even the dating, I mean, millions of years, how do you, I mean, you can't date, like carbon dating, that's a whole nother topic. You can't date bones or fossils, or it's either you can't date the rocks, only the things around them, or you can't date the fossil, only the rock or something. But still, just because something is near something else, I'm not sure if that whole dating system is accurate. And you can carbon date lava that's a day old, and it'll say it's, you know, 20,000 years old. So,
yeah, right. There are definitely instances of that where things that were provably not very old were dated as very, very old. And it's like, well, okay, well, if you, even if there isn't an overt deception, which I know sometimes there is, but even if there's not, there could be mistakes. One phrase I hate a lot is, you got to trust the science. It's science. That's just a word. Right. And you have to be specific, right? Are we trusting a scientist and his or her interpretation of data, right? Is that what you mean by science? Do you mean experimentation and replicate an experiment, right? Which is real science, right? Is experimenting, and other people can do the same experiment. Whether it proves the claim or the null that the claim is wrong, you right? I'm just, I've become very skeptical of things that I can't really be certain of for myself. I'm okay not knowing some things. I don't think anyone could know everything anyway.
Yeah. But, and yeah. And we're not actually supposed to trust the science. That's how science and scientific experiments are supposed to work. Like, you're always trying to disprove things. Science is supposed to disprove things. Like, it seems like this. Let's do an experiment, and then, you know, if you keep not disproving it, then it's likely to be true, but we don't know. And so a decade later, maybe we do something else, and then we realize that was wrong as well. So,
oh, right. So it's like a continuing process of testing and testing.
Right. That's how it's supposed to be, is that you never know 100% and you never trust the science. It's just science tells us something right now, and that's interesting, and let's disprove that. See if we can disprove that.
But I've heard, you know, especially lately, I've heard a phrase thrown around called the saying that the science is settled. I've heard that before. Well, the science is settled. And it's like, well, that's not science.
No,
it's never exactly. Settled. Yeah.
It might be settled from your point of view in this moment that this is what you think. And so something is likely to be true, but maybe not tomorrow.
Well, and if it is, if something is true, then it can be tested forever and ever and it'll be true. It's just true. So like I said at the beginning, the truth doesn't fear scrutiny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if we take size right now and I say, I don't think dinosaurs ever existed. And Mark, let's pick on you. And you say, I believe in dinosaurs. Then how do we figure that out? Am I supposed to give proof or evidence that they don't exist? Or do you need to provide the evidence that they do exist?
I would have to prove it.
Yeah. Okay. So then that's a real question. Do you believe that dinosaurs existed?
I don't want to prove it. Well, I will say, just to be, kind of candid, that when it comes to this subject, it's something that I've kind of intentionally not wanted to dive into because of how preposterous it seems, meaning like, here we are digging stuff up out of the ground supposedly, and we're asked to believe that this thing existed millions of years ago. Like, honestly, you had me until you said stuff like that, right? It's like, so I like the movies, I enjoy some of that stuff, but it's kind of hard to know, mm-hmm. Really anything. Anytime anybody says something existed millions of years ago, I always kind of tune out a little bit. But
so what if that was, what if it was different? What if it was, actually, we think they were more like 7,000 to 8,000 years ago.
Then I probably would be a little bit more interested, but, but at the end of the day, like the people, and I think, by the way, this is sort of a common denominator with a lot of these bigger subjects, where the data and the information that the experts have is, I think, intentionally so much bigger than like what you and I can even stomach. So it's like, it's almost like, we comprehend millions, you don't, so therefore we're experts and you need to trust us. And that, to me, that's where some of the dangers, a lot of these things come into play. So
yeah, because I know some people who think like the earth, like believe in like a young earth, like it's not millions of years, but they also think that dinosaurs existed and maybe they walked the earth with man and that's what a behemoth is in the Bible. And but then I still have the same question is, okay, well, how do we know how do we know that they existed when we don't actually have the bodies or the bones? And I think people would just be surprised that there are very few complete skeletons, even that they even say.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask. I don't know if you were going to get into that or not, but you showed that first picture with like, 20, maybe 20, 25 bones. That's obviously, interesting, but are there other supposed creatures that we have, we'll say 80% of the data versus, 30.
They do claim that. And here's one. I'm showing a picture for those of you just listening. Go to the website so you can see. This is one that they claim is complete. Now, can I zoom? Okay. It's interesting because some of them do look like bones. Of course, they're not bones. They would be fossils, which are whatever. I'm just going to say bones. But some of these like chunks, you can tell that's not the skeleton. They're just saying like there's a little piece in here that we think that would go here, and so we're just going to throw the chunk in there. Because you can tell it's like chunky, right? Like it's not, mm-hmm. that's not a skeleton. So that's weird. Mm-hmm. And that skull, like the skull looks really cool. If they found an impression like that, definitely looks like that was something. Now, when did it live, and what are these pieces actually from it, and what else was around it? You know, I don't know. Or is it a complete fabrication, just a telephone story? I have no idea about that either. Kind of could look like a lizard or a, I don't know, giant snake head or something.
I still can't get around. I don't like that the actual things are hidden in a back room. I don't like that.
Right here, we have a Struthiomimus, along with an ostrich and a goose. And
so are birds dinosaurs?
Birds are dinosaurs.
Yeah. Who made that rule up?
When we looked at the fossils.
No, not we. Yeah. Y'all looked at the fossils.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I there's probably some explanation that makes sense. Like, well, you know, if we put it out, it has to be in a temperature controlled, humidity controlled, probably. I still go back to the definition of the decomposing. I think the longest was hundreds of years if it was buried. So I don't know. It seems like a disconnect there for me. Because I've become skeptical, and I just don't swallow everything that's put in front of me is all anymore. Plus, is there some kind of benefit to?
Well, they're very expensive.
Okay, so beneficial for someone.
You can sell the fossils and the finds. Yeah, like millions and millions.
Well, and aren't they actually talking about cloning? Like, and not just in storytelling fashion, but they're actually talking about doing it. I've heard. You know,
like Jurassic Park.
I've heard people talk about, you know, that is something that could happen. Interestingly, when I was in high school, I graduated with a guy that for the 4 years of his science fair, he did exactly what you saw as the premise for Jurassic Park, cloning. I think he had access to maybe a mosquito or some type of bug in amber. And he was, you know, basically his whole science fair project was cloning that DNA. And I think he's probably some microbiologist or something like that right now, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if that can be done, but... like the DNA from the blood and the mosquito and the amber, you know, having the complete blueprint for an entire animal. And then you make it grow in the egg and like it actually is born. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, I like to, when I think about things like this, I try to think of it in like in a courtroom. Like evidence in a courtroom has to be pretty beyond reasonable doubt, right? Has to be virtually certain. So, you know, can it be proven? Can you prove it? I mean, I feel like it's just, it's a part of growing up, it's just, it's, we're told this, and I don't know, how long have we known? I guess.
Well, yeah. So the first discoveries, quote unquote, were 1800s, like mid 1800s.
Okay.
So that's another question is, apparently there were people around before that.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know that either, but
with shovels.
Yeah. Right. So right, Native right. Americans, like, you don't really hear, I mean, somebody please inform us, but I haven't really heard, and I've looked into it some, and I've, you know, watched other people who research, like, Native Americans discovering things or by any culture all over the world until like the 1850s, and not really many stories either, like, hey, there were these giant beasts, and
right, I'm thinking of Egyptians too. They talk yeah. about some people that did a lot of digging,
right? So how come there weren't stories and discoveries before that? And one of the first ones, I forget the name, but whatever his name was, found like a tooth, and, well, not a tooth, an impression of a tooth, and came up with a whole dinosaur, right? That was like the first one. So, wow, this must be from some giant creature, and maybe it was like this. And so that was the first dinosaur. and most of the discoveries, quote unquote, are, you would think there would be some from like farmers, outdoor recreationists, hikers, building construction crews, basement excavators, pipeline trench diggers, people in the mining industry, right? Like, they would come across these, but no, it's almost always from people with a vested interest, like paleontologists, professors, and museum professionals. So that's interesting too. Like, why aren't other people just coming across them, especially if they lived here for from 260 million years ago to it's like 200 million years they were on the earth. Like, how many would that even be? Even if only a small percent were fossilized, I mean, it's still, don't you think that'd still be like trillions? Trillions and trillions. I don't, even if it's like 1% of 1% were fossilized, I think it'd still be like billions and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd have to do the math, but it seems like if they were on the earth for that long, like, the whole earth would be a graveyard. Like, maybe not. And a few times where there were accidentally discovered fossils from like a regular person in their backyard or something, they were suggested that from the experts to look there, like, hey, you know, there's might be something over there. And it made me think of how you have an Easter egg hunt for kids, you know, like, hey, look, there might be something over there. Oh my gosh, what did you find? Oh, how fun. Open that up and see what it is. And it just kind of blows my mind. Like, are they doing that to us? Like, oh, look over there, you might find something. Oh my goodness, what is that? And that's really annoying if that's true, you know. There's these dinosaur parks where or there's other names for them, where there's supposedly large amounts of fossils, right? Like, oh, in this area. So if you get a special dinosaur hunting license, then you can go there and you can look for them and go for a dig. Like, oh, yep, there's some right there. It's just a little fishy to me. I mean, it's possible, but I don't know.
Because I'm more skeptical now, because I understand that, I think there are people that want to control us. They want to control our minds and our thoughts. And this feels, that's not any proof there, is my feelings, but it feels fishy. And I'm still wondering, have we benefited as a people? Okay. If museums benefit, that's maybe one thing. And that could be a clue that maybe there's something fishy going on, but it's weird. It feels like, I don't know if it has it benefited us in any way. Like, what I mean is, like, is it worth the money and manpower and the resources to pursue, which that would just be an opinion, whether it's real or not. But I'm just curious, is there's any, has it helped us somehow better understand, I don't know, where we live, or I don't know, what's the explanation for that?
I guess they would say, you know, just the quest for knowledge,
a better understanding of everything.
Yeah, how everything, history and all this stuff.
Yeah, for me personally, it's not, I can't really consider it knowledge, because I'm kind of taking someone's word for it. I mean, I guess I could go, I don't know, I could call a museum and say, can I see the actual bone or fossil, and just see if they'll let me. And even then, I guess I don't really know what I would even be looking at.
Right.
If you showed me a little, looked like a rock, but it kind of looked like a bone, and you said, yeah, it's a fossilized dinosaur bone. I mean, I wouldn't know if that, I would have to take your word for it. So maybe I should go to college and become a paleontologist. Then I could say, oh, okay, now I know. But I don't know. It seems thin to me.
All right. Well, that's all the time we had for part one of this segment. Be sure to tune in next time for part two. And be sure to check out awaketheiron.com for the full video experience. We'd also love to hear from you. You can give us a call at the Awake the Iron hotline. It is 601-654-IRON. Thanks again, and as always, be sure to choose love, because hate is just too great a burden to bear. We'll see ya.